At least when we move out of a certain position, we know exactly what is it that we want fund and below, but what seed capital are we going to have so that we are able to begin to do what we aspire to do? Because obviously he has indicated that the budget that we receive is only for administrative purposes and those projects within that mothership. The other thing, it's a question of putting timeline. It becomes critical that, you know, when you work on certain things, you know that by this time this is what you want to achieve. Especially since he is not the one that will be going to be running through. I'm not expecting him to respond maybe at this particular forum, but these are some of the issues that probably I'll want to have so that I know that as we move on, then we are all into the same direction. But what covers me most, that it is the heart, it is the matter of the heart, he understands it very well. So I think in terms of the specific issues maybe, that in terms of the economic investment and the social investment that we want to talk about as the key points, probably I'll then hand over to the CEO so that he can touch. We're not going, maybe we may not be doing the whole presentation as first because some of the things that actually cover them, just the way we have. So we may not move slide by slide. It's just that maybe what we'll be doing, we'll be maybe looking into a specific component within that investment. What are those things? But in terms of the presentation presented by the DG this morning, indeed, we are welcoming with both hands. Such a good day to start the week with that positivity and that willingness and that positivity of thoughts and minds into that same direction. If I may just hand over, just to see, oh, I just want him to pick up the specific one, so it might not really go according to the presentation.
Thank you very much, Chair Kesson, and the honourable members, the DG, and officials of the department, SG, and our support from the provincial office, Mr. Villa. Thank you. And everybody. that helps in connecting people between their places of residence to the areas where they can receive their livelihoods, and then be able to survive. So there is a social component that is very important in terms of our business model. It's based on community living, it's based on community development, and ensuring that we support economic growth within the country. And most of those people who work in these centers do not have means, and we provide that. And then, and I think this the last bullet is one of the areas that has always been neglected in the assessment of the contribution from the transport sector to GDP as a whole. The contribution from the taxi industry in terms of job creation. I mean, I think last time we did indicate that we provide more than 250,000 jobs to drivers, about 80,000 to taxi marshals, 100,000 to people who work at the trains and conductors, and provide, you know, secondary industry development to a number of people who operate other shops at the taxi ranks. So there is some serious contribution that we make to the economy of this country and to the general livelihood of people living in South Africa. So, maybe coming to the slide that we were meant to, we thought we might try to focus at earlier on. It's the economic transformation. One of the areas that we believe it would be a key intervention in terms of our engagement as we try to change and to transform the industry is the consolidation of individual business operators or operations to cooperative entities that will harness the bargaining power and create efficiency in the management of those business operations. People operate in isolated places and somehow dilute their power and their efficiency. But we are saying that now moving forward, we want to consolidate those entities and find a way so that they can act as corporate entities so that we can improve the efficiency that within which we sustain our operations moving into the future. The electronic management system is another area, key area of economic transformation, because we believe that with such a system, we'll be able to have a mechanism to access the fare collection and be able then to harness the power that is generated within the industry in terms of the value as people pay within one area. But it's also a point where we believe that by consolidating that space, we'll be able to then direct and channel transactions to where we think there will derive much value for the industry. The petrol, insurance, and everything. If we have control of that, we are able then to channel people in those areas that will then benefit the industry on a large scale. And then we also think that there is a need for us, obviously, within that economic transformation model, to change the mindset of the industry from just being consumers, but to equity and partner ownership. I think the DG did allude to this fact, that we do want to get to a point where the industry does not see itself as just consumers. I mean, we consume everything, and from petrol to insurance to everything. So, but we want to come up with arrangements within the taxi industry where within the value chain we have benefit and the share in terms of the economic benefit that derives from what we actually purchase. And then the expansion of the business operations, I think, speaks to diversification from just simple taxi to broader transport. We don't want to be confined within the limited space of taxi, because that will limit our scope in terms of where we want to play. And I think when the DG talks about initiatives with regards to bus contracts, it will limit us greatly if we still regard and are referred to within that limited mode and extent. So we want to diverse, but also you know, to expand our sphere of operation from just simple taxi to bus, rail, aviation, such that we cover the whole transport mode. What we then highlighted some of the economic investment projects that we think, or development projects that we think would actually give us much traction in terms of our plan moving forward. We already mentioned number one, the EMS, the electronic management system, and I think our research shows us that there is need for serious capital injection in order for that to take off. And I think we will probably need to find ways to mobilize that funding so that we are able to drive this initiative, because we believe it will put us far. It will advance our plans and our objectives in terms of economic empowerment. The finance space, we there are serious issues that are faced by our operators in terms of access to taxi finance. And I think with the succession and with the that happened, you know, the problem was that then it becomes a bit difficult for them to access financing. The interest that is charged by banks is quite exorbitant, and it's becoming very much difficult to sustain a very strong business operations within a taxi industry. And we do need to look at ways of taxi financing that will enhance and improve and sustainability as a whole. Insurance, we're also looking at it, and cooperative banks. We think that there's a reason, there's a good reason for us to think in that direction. I think the DG has mentioned that the cooperative model would be something that we aspire to look at and to see how we can use this model in order to harness the community spirit that lives there, but also use that to advance our economic objectives. And then we also look at the value chain of the industry itself in terms of economic projects in the workshop area. Where do they take their cars for fixing when they have breakdowns? The available parts and spares. I mean, these are simple things, but there's a lot of money that is spent by the industries in these areas. The energy and petroleum industries, the local taxi manufacturers. We think there's a reason and the rationale, good rationale for us to think about manufacturing of a taxi that is suitable for the conditions of the country in South Africa. Something that is robust and a vehicle that would be suitable for the terrain and the areas where we travel, which sometimes are not as smooth as in other areas, especially within the rural areas. But there are other social investment projects that we are talking about, and I think the ETG mentioned the issue of Chokomela, which is the road safety program that we launched last year, which was a success. And through that, we are participating with government and traffic officials in ensuring that the safety of passengers remains a priority within the industry. At our taxi rank, we would monitor and check the vehicles, register the passengers, and ensure that we have a list of who you know, got into the taxis. Along the route, we have checkpoints where we look at whether the people are still enjoying a good experience on their journey. And also we have a call center that we established through the Chokomela program at which the public in general can voice their concerns, voice their complaints, and for us then to do a follow-up. But one of the customer service areas we think that, you know, is important to look at is the issue of just the way we service our clients. And I think the president then instituted came up with an idea that maybe we need to have a structured, a systematic way of projecting ourselves in a way that is professional. And he says, in the new training academy that we are going to be launching, the first batch of candidates would be the women. About 1,000 women would come through from all areas of South Africa. So that we bring them in and train them, but then provide them with proper uniform that will identify them as taxi operators, with providing within the taxi industry. Community development programs, we've got quite a few that we've initiated. And we think that maybe it's something that now we will note and focus on quite greatly. One of them that we are now initiating is the HIV awareness program within the taxi industry. We've got drivers who are affected, we've got families who are affected, we've got commuters who alight on our taxis, get in our taxis, who are affected. We think we have a platform through which we can send proper messages around these issues and demonstrate a support for these social programs, including drug awareness program within the taxi ranks. I think the president has also highlighted the issue of women abuse and saying most the industry is infested with a lot of people who do not probably know how to treat the people of the opposite sex. Most of the people that are driving our taxis are men, and who sometimes perpetrate some of these acts. And we think we have a role to play in ensuring that these issues are addressed collectively, and we participate with government in ensuring these matters are addressed. Moral regeneration and rehabilitation, we have a program that we initiated, which is a presidential project, at which we work with prisoners who have perpetrated acts of violence during the time when there was so much violence within the taxi industry. And we work with them to rehabilitate them, take them, to talk to them, to see whether we cannot ensure that when they come out, they don't have the same mentality and they are well integrated into their families and into the whole taxi industry space. So there is that program that we are running with in consultation with the prisons all around the country. And then there's a training academy program that the minister actually, launched and actually promoted at the TRC 2020. And actually the minister provided a promise for a seed capital for this program, where we will improve skills skills within the industry and improve the participation of women by training them in terms of the academy and overall just improve service standards. The president always likes to echo the sentiment that this is not only about technical skills. We are talking about soft skills, good manners, good service standards, and for people to relate better with their customers as they service them.
Like wildfire, Peter Maris, they called us Now that is why we've then gone back to say we need to deal under this auspice of Hlokomela, because Hlokomela saying take care. What is the first thing that we have dealt with, which the CEO has indicated, is on the issue of HIV, it's not your status. We'll be running a Know Your Status campaign, which where men needs to understand where they are in terms of HIV and AIDS, so that at least they are able to deal. Not because we believe that tech industry suffer from such, but since it's a male-dominated industry, we think that it is a relevant program for us to begin to look into those kind of things. But also, the issues of orphans and women, what is it that we need to create? So we need to create some sort of a support system that will provide to those widows, to those orphans who has happened. As a result, it could be tax violence, it could be tax accident that created those kind of situations. So Comeda is moving into that space. Also, the reason why we want to look into this issue of moral degeneration and rehabilitation, we are equally of the view that as a result of maybe one's husband who is dead, there are children who are raised without a father, and as a result, they become easily or vulnerable to the issues of utilizing the substances and alcohol abuse in a process trying to cover the gap for someone who should be doing that and who is not there. So that is what the other components that are just taking place, which I just thought I may just want to highlight, just in case the portfolio committee is interested, maybe to go with us, especially on those prison ministries, to see the kind of work that is taking place. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. And maybe then we can move to the next slide, which is support from the National Department of Transport. I think the premise from which we are moving is that we are working within an environment where there's you know, commitment from government, which has already been expressed here, and as we are engaging with them on some of these issues and ensuring that some of the processes that have already been initiated are highlighted as support that is already being provided by government. And I think one area of such is the policy and the legislation area, where, you know, the NLTA, which is the National Land and Transport Act, is being looked at. And we've highlighted some of the issues that we think might need some revision or some review within the Act. And that pertains to the role of associations. The Act does award the opportunity for individual operators to apply for licenses, and it does not necessarily recognize the role of associations in the whole process of approving or being part of the process of ensuring that operators are part of a structured, you know, unit within the industry, so that you remove potential conflict that might arise when individuals just operate on themselves. So the role of associations within the new legislation has not been clearly or properly or, you know, well articulated, and I would think maybe that area needs to be looked at. And then the other one is the issue of transport authorities and just the role of the taxi industry in the decision making process, and as they decide, as they make their determination of routes and other things pertaining to transport provision in that space. And then the issues of permits and the lifespan of such, the compensation of operators for permits. Now these are the issues that we are dealing with government in terms of the existing processes of submission in terms of the input and the review of this act. And then, of course, the other one is on the TRP program, and some of these have already been, you know, taken through government, and I think there's something positive that is happening towards them being addressed. One of them is the reinstatement of the front, of the front seat, and I think we talked about this last time when we were here, and said that the space that was provided for was mainly for the EMS unit, which has proved to be such small that you don't even need the whole seat in the front to provide for space for this electronic management system to operate. The color coding and other which provides other revenue stream for the taxi industry and for the operators, we feel that the insistence on the white color, you know, limits our scope in terms of, you know, accessing other streams of revenue. I think that the other area of support that we think is important, we've already had engaged CFIR on some of the issues that we think are important, and then we think we need a properly costed, a properly evaluated, properly assessed process in terms of ensuring that whatever we develop within the industry is supported by research and good scientific processes. Okay, so we have engaged CFIR in order for us to estimate the contribution of the industry to the economy and the GDP of the country, verification of the data on the scope of taxes and the extent of the operations of the industry. What is the level of contribution to the job creation? I mean, we are estimating some of these, but it would help to have properly researched data on these things so that we inform our business processes in the right manner. Corporatization and cooperative development model, where are these models existing and how are they operating? What is the value of bringing them in the country? And I think as part of these are the, you know, proposed study tools on the cooperative model. I think it has been cited that in Kenya, Canada, and Namibia, there are good models that we can learn from as a country, and we wish that support could be given in us making sure that the intelligence that it can be derived from this experience is drawn into the taxi industry and in our business planning process. Diversification, and I think that is one area that DG has emphasized on the passenger contracts and the aviation space. I think last time when we were here, it was noted that, you know, there's limitation in terms of operations of taxis within the airports. And such, some of our customers are not able to access the service that is affordable for them. So we think maybe there might be a need to provide access and licensing for the industry. So albeit, you know, in a regulated manner. We're not saying it's open for all, so the congestions and the traffic problems. But we regulate that space, but allow access so that people can access the service. And then we spoke about the launching of the taxi industry owned airline to service the industry market that we service. And we think that that operation might need some level of support in terms of, you know, providing licenses to operate within the regional airport space that we are looking at. Rail, ensure that strong participation within rail development initiatives is guaranteed for the industry. And then maybe the next slide talks about just improve engagement on the taxi industry, on engagement on policy issues, decision-making platforms and committees that determine key issues regarding, I think, BRT. There are certain committees, technical committees, that discuss specific issues on vehicle specifications, and some of those vehicles are taxis. But we think we need to improve participation of the industry in those, and also the toll system. I think the experience that we had highlights the need for broader participation on these committees. And then we also think maybe there might be some benefits from the improvement of alignment with other government agencies. I think the DG has already mentioned some programs that they are running within the department, which could be enhanced, and it could create synergies between what the industry is initiating, that is proposing, with what government is already implementing. The RTMC on road safety programs, the CETA on training. We need to define more clearly what are the key areas of focus in terms of the training for the industry. those programs, and the PRASA and FunRail. Those are areas that we think, in terms of alignment and integration with other government agencies, it would help strengthen our strategy moving forward. But then, what would make this happen? In our view, and I think the DG has also expressed this, because this is an engagement that has been going on between ourselves and the Department of Transport, that maybe there is a need for a pool of experts that would assist the industry in the following. Number one, to realize some of the opportunities that are there within the industry. Package the business concepts and proposals and develop business plans in those specific areas. That mostly are highly technical. I mean, you know, take the bank. How do you develop that within the industry without support from technical and financial gurus who understand the processes around some of these specific areas of development? Support the implementation. And then the other area would be then the supporting of the implementation of all initiatives for the duration of the strategy implementation. They don't only develop and package these things, but they support the implementation, because we might need capacity to be able to do that. But then we also feel that a key success factor here is funding. These will be, you know, just dreams if we do not mobilize, allocate funding to be able to drive these programs. And I think we want to say maybe the first area that we need to explore is the usage of government resources to provide seed capital for empowerment projects. I think the president, when he started, he said there are three areas. One of them is the funding and maybe the provision of the seed capital for this to happen. I think we appreciate the collaboration in terms of mobilization of funds from the different agencies and from private sector and everybody else. But I think there should be some level of commitment from government at that instance, just to say, this is what we commit for this process. This is how we think we need to move with it. We will then mobilize together in terms of how other funding for these processes can be solicited from different sources. And then, of course, assist in the mobilization of the broader, you know, funding capital that is required for the social and the economic investment program that we talked about. And then maybe coming to you, Chair, in terms of the portfolio committee support and just general parliament, I think, number one, the perception about the industry and the status of the industry, I don't think is clearly understood. People don't understand the economic contribution of the taxi industry in this country. Just as a side issue, if you allow me, Chair, the last time when we were here, we were on the lift. When we were getting on the lift, one of the members said, "Where are you guys coming from?" And we say, "No, the taxi industry is from Santiago." And in jest, she mentioned that, "Hey, I wish you would not shoot me." But it was in jest. But I think it highlights the deep-seated perception around the industry and who we are. And I think if Parliament, you know, sustains those views, then the broader public will never change. And I think the President has articulated some of the history that we come from. And the territory is about changing that perception. But I think we just want to, you know, implore the portfolio committee that is responsible for transport just to help us change that perception on the role and the status of the industry in the country. The acknowledgement of the contribution of the industry in the country's GDP. When the Minister of Finance speaks about the contribution and issues of job creation and economic and social development, there's nothing that is mentioned about the taxi industry and the contribution to that. Job creation, we don't want to reinvent a program, but there's already something that is happening on the ground. And I think it is important to estimate how much of what we are doing contributes to the objectives of government. And then, of course, the implementation of the cooperative development and the BBBE, you know, policies and legislation within the public transport sector, if you can help, you know, drive that
I have also come across the same comment. Where there is this digital perception that it helps the industry, the cancer industry, and only want to comment on the negative side of the cancer industry when there are, there's a lot that is positive that could be attributed to the cancer industry, but it requires change of the mindset. But in this politically charged institute, with the really the aim that we need to drive that awareness campaign to change the mindset, because if when we threaten the strike, 2009, and this strike was also linked to the election, to say if we are not going to be given an opportunity to say what we don't like about the BRT, we are not going to run the taxi down. And you also said it's not just us who are not going to vote, but to remember that we provide transport. Means that people who want to go to school will also not be able to. And then the presidential candidate, because the one that's the choice of his party and also himself to win the election, took it upon himself to address that issue. And ensure that you don't go on a track. That shows the value that we have. And I think that it is important we have our own ways of raising awareness here. Sometimes we stand up and read a motion, say, let us raise this issue. Maybe we will raise a motion, and let us raise this issue. Transformation strategy of the tech industry, and through that debate, then be able to change and to raise the awareness among other members so that we together engage in this process of changing the mindset and begin to see the positive. We are not saying that there are no challenges and the negative side, but it is also our role to address the negative side. But the negative side should not be the only side that is known about it. We should also talk about the positive side. The fact that there are so many minibuses on the road means that there is a contribution in terms of GDP consumed. Buy the fuel, buy the tires, pay the insurance, all those things, they are a contribution to the economy. The number of people that you have, they are a contribution. And I think that we need to live we are so proud of you as the black industry in this country. We are very proud of you. Keep it up. You are making us proud. Chairperson, I think we need to raise that motion in the House that we debate this turnaround strategy of the black industry. It's really good and it makes us proud. Keep it up. Thank you, sir.
Some questions I have, if I may, on both presentations, just for clarity and further information. The first is, I'll take on the first presentation by the DG. In his presentation, he talks about some of these documents. So I have a few questions on this. It talks about the status quo. He says that Santaco obtains annual grants. Unpack that a little bit more and tell us, obviously it's a submission of business plan, but are there measurables that are given on these plans? Are going to be obtained, key performance areas and so forth, and what are the results being in this regard? So these are very important for the development of this industry. Looking at that same presentation, I know you have questions, but there is an answer later on. In the presentation, he talks about economic assistance. The DG spoke about public transport monopolies. If you could just talk about what monopolies he's talking about. And then also, if I may just completely ask at the investor conference that he mentioned, I do know the minister also mentioned it, but if these kind of indulgence, invite the committee. I think it would be very useful for us to be sitting as observers. Then, on the presentation from some questions as well. Training Academy, if we could just at what stage this is, and what are the real objectives of such a training academy? Because it sounds like the most
1990, I was doing a course in marketing. I was studying marketing. And you were given an assignment. After we were taken through a lecture on defining your business, the nature of your business, for you to be able to remain in the market and be able to compete with others as the world evolves and new products come in. And our lecturer was saying, failure to define your business correctly can take you out of business. And other people come up with new services that are determined by the needs of the and the demand of the customer. We were then given an assignment to analyze what made the railway bus to fail. And have in their space taken by an unlicensed business sector, the taxi industry. Because at that time it was not even licensed. And we did that research, and when we came back to discuss the assignment, then after the lecturer had marked them, what came out was that what made the railway buses to lose the market, that they once they failed to define the nature of their business, they thought that there is a bus instead of transportation. And as a result, they failed to diversify and modify even when people wanted to arrive at a particular place within a particular time. Because remember, at that time, the railway buses were only collecting the postmen. So instead of just moving from Devon to Pietermaritzburg, the bus would move from Devon, go to Cato Ridge, just to pick up a postman. And from Cato Ridge, camper down again to pick up a postman. From camper down to Mlazi Road to pick up a postman. And then the person who is in the bus want to arrive in Pietermaritzburg within an hour. Doesn't want to go all these places, and also so that failure we anyway but to define the nature of business and also observe what is happening around in terms of modification killed the railway buses and the testing people took over. I am responding to my colleague here, Honorable Professor, that I don't think that diversification is a bad thing to do. And I don't think that the taxi industry should just look at themselves as the taxi industry. Because the world around them changes. And if South Africa at a particular time introduces this high speed train, the market of the taxi industry will shrink. When the BRT is introduced, the market of the taxi industry shrinks. So there's no way in which that the taxi industry cannot then observe that space and say how we respond to the changing needs of the people and also the changes that are taking place around ourselves, and then wait until your market dries up. I think it is within you to determine where you want to go, informed by the changes that are taking place around you, and also how much you want to bite within the market share. But I also want to make now a contribution on how we view this from the ANC perspective. South Africa has not achieved the transformation of the economy. We have only changed the manner in which the country was governed, that there are people that were excluded from being full citizens of this country. And in terms of economy, we are at that level where the participation of those that were previously disadvantaged is still at a periphery level. They are not participating in the mainstream. There are only a few that are participating in the mainstream of the economy. And we have the responsibility of ensuring that we transform the economy. And this step is the step towards that direction of transforming the economy. It's not only about the taxi industry, it is about the transformation of the economy in the country. And we think that from the DNC perspective, it is the right direction. I will hand over to the presenters to present, but that's how we see it. Maybe we can debate that between the DA and the ANC when we are debating this strategy and choose our opinions share our views around this issue of transformation. We strongly believe that the ANC that we don't need to be confined in a space where you only operate in the tech industry. When you stay at when you look at yourself as people that are players in the transport, we think that you are defining your business correctly.
Thank you, Chair. I for me the focus of my response will be on the process, because I think that's the most important part. That the way the way the think you are going to be running that shop for the next 20 years, you are in trouble. So you say, okay, I'll run this shop and I'll create this new language. I'll create a balance sheet for myself and then I'll diversify. That's how I sustain myself. You know, we know we have this problem in the townships now, where the successful shop owners in the past, when they introduce malls in the township, they're in trouble, they're out of business completely. Why? It's because they never thought that there will be a time where a better product will come to the market, which then they won't be able to compete with. And I remember in my township, the shop owners, when the people were talking about the mall, the toy, I mean, you have businessmen with toy, protesting that the mall should not be introduced, which was an incorrect response. They should have said, okay, let's allow them all to come in, but let's be serious investors in this mall. So those are the kinds of choices the industry faces. And because most of them at the local level, they are not responding to those things. They holding on to their taxes. They find themselves out of the business. What did it does is that because they are out of the business, but they still have the license or what you call the permit, then they hire this permit, which further complicates situations and so on. So diversification and growth of the industry is a natural process. It's not something which is just looking at the opportunity. It's a natural process which is found in business development. Has there been a question about the monopolies? That's what happened in the buses. They started as small buses, operators, they grew and then ended up being monopolies. But what we're saying is that we're not necessarily saying big is bad. But what we're saying is that there's a danger that big can frustrate other emerging players. So we need to balance the two. We know that in Europe, I mean, in Germany, they're telling you that six big bus companies. So the consolidation of business is natural. For us here, for me, what is going back to the cooperatives, the beauty of the cooperatives is that you are actually creating bigness without dislodging people. So you are using the corporatization to create bigness in the industry. I think that's what this process is about. But yeah, I don't know. Oh yes, so definitely. In fact, Chair, I don't know. Maybe at some stage you might have to come and brief the portfolio committee on the investor conference, because it's going to be an important event on our calendar. I think just briefly, I think all of us are saying there are huge infrastructure investment challenges in the transport sector. You look at rail, our rail is old, it's massive investment. You look at our ports, you look at the public transport system. There's no way that we can raise this money through the fiscal only. We have to get the private sector on board. Now, the problem with getting the private sector on board is that you have to do feasibility studies first. Okay, and then once you finish the feasibility studies, then you go out and look for investors. Won't you even have the money to do the feasibility of the various projects you want to implement, which are critical for South Africa. So what we're saying is that one of the objectives of this investor conference is to get partners who will even also assist us to do some of the feasibilities. The main objective of this thing is to mobilize the private sector to come in big numbers to assist us to upgrade our transport infrastructure in South Africa, which requires
advanced driving will also be the area that should be looked at. Actually, last time we mentioned eco-driving skills, where people begin to drive well, looking at the environmental effect of whatever driving skills that they apply, the higher end and the braking and all that. We've made a discovery that actually driving skills can be improved to be eco-friendly. And then the other area that I need to respond to, Chair, is the issue of Hlokomela, and I think there was an issue with regard to how is this information regarding Hlokomela cascaded to the law, to the public. I think there's a member did ask that question. I think those who are close to their TVs would have noticed that the advert was run during the festive season on Hlokomela. That there was a media campaign which ran for about 2 months during the festive season that highlighted what Hlokomela is all about and the messages that we seek to promote with regards to Hlokomela. So that's one area. But one of the issues that we do also at the RAMS is ensure that the public is made aware of what we are doing. Because whilst you're doing this media monitoring and checking vehicles, people ask, what are you doing? And we then highlight what you are doing. We also develop pamphlets on what Hlokomela is all about that we issued out at the RAMS and when we do our checkpoints. So there's a lot of pamphlets that we issued out during the time and that we are continuing to issue out to the general public. We also have launches for this program in the various provinces to highlight what we are doing to the public, and we have media conferences and media briefings on the issues that we are doing around Hlokomela. And we also then have a website which is visited quite frequently by people and looking at what programs we are doing as an industry. But Hlokomela is one of the most visited programs in that site. And then we also have a call center that it was part of the media campaign, but also that is part that is listed on the pamphlets that we issued, so people know that they can call the industry or the office when they have challenges. I'm not sure whether there's another one. SG, do you want to take some questions?
Madam Chair, I think to also the honourable members, one of the things which members should understand is that our intention, it's not to stop with the drivers which are within the system, but to come up at the end when we are sure that we have played all taxi drivers, rail marshals, you know, everybody who works for the industry who are now in the net, that when we are done with that, we will then be putting a sort of a regulation out which says that anybody, any new entrant as an employee into the industry should have qualified through the training academy. So the training academy is going to be a continuous thing. It is to professionalize even those who are coming into the industry. And I think as Bongani has said earlier on, it contributes a lot to the job creation. I think the other one on Hlokomela, Bongani. Also with Hlokomela is also a sort of a full-time program, which will continue in this industry. And the intentions there is to continuously mobilize the taxi drivers to understand their responsibilities, not only towards the commuters, but also towards the road rules and the other road users. That's what we are looking at Hlokomela. We are looking at the training academy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. other people that you interact with, you are then likely to be a good driver. But getting advanced driving skills only, I'm not saying that the advanced driving skills are not important, they are important, because there you acquire a skill that enables you to think in advance in terms of what the other driver is going to do and how you then avoid, instead of always thinking that the right of way is for me, and then not anticipate an accident and then maneuver to avoid the accident. But for you to be at that level, you also need to complement that with a certain behavior that can only come out of being exposed in soft skills. How you look, what is your image, how you greet people. Some drivers are not bad drivers, but they open their radio in such a way that it then affects the passenger negatively. And in the, because it's a public transport, some of the passengers are people that are moving from home to a mortuary to identify the body or make the funeral arrangement. But the driver doesn't even look at the way in which they are dressed, which is going to tell you that these people are in the mourning session. And then you have to behave in a particular way when you are telling those people. So soft skills are as important as the hard skills. And soft skills actually make us who we are in terms of interaction with other people. And then the hard skills are hard skills that we use in order to earn a living. But what makes a person respect me and want to interact with me? Human interaction is the soft skill. And I think that the taxi industry is in the right direction if it is realistic about how it is perceived. They accept that they are perceived in a particular way and then they have to change that image. I think that they are in the right direction. But I also want to go to the issue of the public transport monopoly. Many of the bus companies were started by families. Private companies, the family business. And those family businesses have grown now. And they close. As much as we have all these nice policies that are aimed at transforming the economy, but the fact that the bus company started as a family business, it would be a family business that starts with one bus, then get the second bus, and then. But it is family businesses that have also been benefiting from the government because they get some contracts from the government. And all that we are saying is that if government is about reducing poverty, transforming the economy, and enable broader communities to benefit from the services that government pays for, because government pays for transport subsidies, the government becomes the sustainable market for poverty reduction. The government becomes a sustainable market for job creation. government becomes a sustainable market for comparative development. Therefore, we can't overlook this arrangement and find a way of saying, okay, if you remain a family business, but how do we then integrate the structure that operates beyond family business? Then the last thing about cooperatives. Maybe at one day we need to debate the difference between a cooperative and the company of a family or there are benefits in a cooperative that go beyond economic benefits and economic empowerment. If you wanted to bring back the culture of water, the culture of sharing, the only tool you have today is a cooperative. And also in the transformation of it, of the economy, the only tool that will teach people that you share. Yes, you can make money, but share that what you are making with other people in the cooperative. The only type of business also that does not have votes that are based on the number of shares that you have. Meaning that even if a person who doesn't is not the best leader in terms of business and in terms of taking the business forward and building relationships, is the one that has more shares than others. In a business sector, that person has got the majority shares, and therefore that person's wealth is the one that dictates the direction of the business. In a cooperative, it is a different situation. The decisions are taken on the basis of the person, the warm body, not the number of shares. It is a much democratic setup that allows growth and also the position in terms of leadership rotates. You don't have a lifetime chairperson because that person has got motion. So it is a way, it is a business model that brings back Ubuntu. And we are in Africa and we have values of Ubuntu we share. And mina ngakhulela emakhaya where a poor family would not be easily recognized which is a poor family, akanayinkomo, akakwazi ukulima, because those who have cattle have the responsibility of ensuring that that poor family that does not have cattle and cows is actually assisted to plow the field. But also is assisted to develop it by ourselves. One that family will not pay back the income and settle. The word cooperative is from there. It's people that are cooperating in order to deal with our problems and challenges. I think it's a very good thing. Thank you very much. And we think you are in the right direction. We've been putting a motion in the house and asking to debate it. And there's no way in which you can support an initiative of this nature because it is based on the testing industry determining its own destiny and then the government playing a role of supporting it. And that is how